Good morning again. We are in 1 John chapter 2. And the last several times that I preached, the reading was the same. 1 John 5:13, I want you to know. The assurance of God. I want you to know. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have what we ask of Him. When your kids would leave the house, when your kids were just born, you would hold them in your arms and you would tell them that you loved them. No matter what else was going on, you loved them. That was the assurance. No matter what, you wanted to tell them that all the time. Even at times when they were unlovable. 2 o'clock in the morning, you just got to bed, and the kid starts crying. Dirty diaper, hungry, whatever else. You don't feel like getting out of bed. But you do. Them coming home from school with a bad report card or fighting with their sister or not cleaning this or doing that or whatever else. You told them you loved them. Even when they were unlovable, you loved them. And that's what the first book of John, the epistle, is for, that assurance that we know. So in 1 John 2:12, last time I preached, I went ahead and started at 15, 16, and 17. I skipped over this because by itself, it sounds like it's repeating itself. I'm writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of His name. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know Him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I'm writing to you, dear children, because you know the Father. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know Him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Any time in Scripture where the Scripture repeats itself directly afterwards, it's important. You have to look into it a little harder. What's going on? What are they saying? What do they mean? Now, I'm writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven. Well, that's what we are. Our sins are forgiven. This is not a child, an infant. This is a child of God. This is us. This is all believers. This is what it says in the Amplified, because I don't speak Greek. So I didn't know exactly which one was what saying or what word. I'm writing to you, little children, believers, dear ones, because your sins have been forgiven for His name's sake. You have been pardoned and released from spiritual debt through His name, because you have confessed His name and believe Him as Savior. That says a lot more than just, dear children, your sins are forgiven. But that's what we are. These are the several stages of spiritual growth. Children, young men, fathers. The stages that we grow. That we first believed we knew who God was. We confessed our sins. Spiritual growth, our position in Christ, our sanctification has not changed. From the very beginning, God loved us with a perfect love. In John 13, this is Jesus. And with the Passover, Now, before the Passover feast, Jesus knew that his hour had come. It was his time for him to leave the world and return to the Father. Having greatly loved his own who were in the world, he loved them, continuously loves them with his perfect love to the end eternally. That's part of the Amplified Version. That hasn't changed. If you remember the apostles during the Last Supper, the Passover Supper, they were still fighting amongst each other. They were still squabbling who would be the greatest. They still really did not understand what it meant for the Son of God to be lifted up. Even afterwards, when Jesus was crucified, they were afraid. They ran and hid themselves. They still did not completely understand. But he loved them with his perfect love. Once you were saved, no matter what you do, you can be good. You can be perfect. You can get straight A's. You can be the child who does not cry. You can be the child who picks up his room, takes care of everything. You can be the favorite brother, the favorite son, the one who causes no disruption. Or you can be like me. Bad grades, mischievous. The first name I learned to write was my own. The second name I learned to write was my brother's, my younger brother. Why? So instead of writing on the wall and writing my name, I wrote his name. Who did this? Well, you see his name is there. Yeah, so that was me. I was not the perfect son. But my parents loved me. You may not be the perfect Christian, but God loves you with his perfect love. No matter what you do, you cannot earn more of his love. He loves you perfectly to the end, eternally. He loves you. Verse 13, I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. Spiritual growth is like growing a tree, growing a plant. It starts in the beginning, and sometimes the trees shoot up very quickly. The seed pops up, opens up, and you see that it's growing. And you nurture it, and you take care of it. And as it continues to grow, you water it. The roots get deeper. It keeps growing stronger and stronger. It has nothing to do with God's love. Your spiritual growth does not have time. You can be a Christian for 50 years and still not grow past infancy. You can see that in larger churches that people feel like they're obligated to go. They hear the sermon and they go home and they're still doing the same things that they've normally done. There's no growth. It has nothing to do with knowledge. Knowledge is the gathering of information. When PBS would have their programs, Finding Jesus, I would watch the first portion of it, and it did not have any meaning. They were looking for just somebody named Jesus, and they were proving or disproving that he was the Son of God. Wisdom is knowledge put into action. You can answer trivia questions in the Bible, but are you putting that wisdom, that knowledge, into action? That's wisdom. Spiritual growth is not to do with activities. You can attend everything in church, everything that's here for church, everything that we do for fellowship, for prayer, for elders' meeting, for Sunday school, for church. Unless you're applying that, it has nothing to do with spiritual growth. Hearing the word, applying the word, that's how you grow. or even success. Look around you. When we had orange pews, ugly orange pews, we had a lot of people here. But we continue to preach the word, we continue to be faithful, and some people would fall away. So does this make my spiritual growth higher, lower, up and down? Does God love me less? No. When COVID happened, and I was preaching to a camera and we posted it online, there was no one here. I was just preaching to a camera. God still loved me. And I'm still doing the things he asked me to do. So I'm writing to you, dear children. This is 2 Timothy 2. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Do not have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, and not resentful. That sounds like I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. Because I like a good fight. I really do. And I would get people walking around Saturday, and we're working in the front yard, or we're in the backyard, or in the house, get the knock on the door. Hey, we would like to talk to you about... And a few times, I was told not to make them cry. These young boys would come to my door, and they would knock on the door, and don't make them cry. Okay, I won't make them cry. I would shut them down pretty quick. This is what I believe. Or the people who would come on Sunday, and they'd be walking around in their pants and their dresses, and they would knock on the door, and they want to hand you pamphlets, or they put them in the door. Like, no, thank you very much. I know who Jesus is. I have him in my life. I love him. I do not believe what you're preaching. I'd have other churches come by, and I'd find out where they're from. And I'd say, great, let's pray. And I'd pray on the spot that they're witnessing, that they're walking through the neighborhood, would be successful because they were part of God's family. They believed the Bible. They believed in the resurrection. They believed that Jesus was the Son of God, that he paid for our sins, and that when the time comes, we will be in heaven. How can you not pray for their success? So all the books that I gathered and collected for fighting against the cults, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness, different churches, faith preachers that you see on TV, name it and claim it, I had them all. Evolution, had them all. No, I'm done with that. I'm done with arguing. I'm done with fighting. When they come to my door, they'll hear the gospel. They'll hear Jesus Christ. They'll hear that Jesus loves them. Not the Jesus they proclaim, but the Son of God, the creator of the universe. I'm not going to argue with them. I don't have time for that. If God opens their heart to hear the message, they will receive that message. 1 Timothy 1. Timothy, my son, I'm giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them, you may fight the battle well, holding on to the faith and the good conscience, which some have rejected and have so suffered shipwreck with regards to their faith. We're to be strong. We're to be rooted deep in the word. When you watch the news and you see the weather and you see that there was heavy winds blowing back east, New Jersey, Maryland, whatever else, you see these large, massive trees toppled over on top of a house. And you see the root system. And the root system has gone out really, really wide. And when the trees fall down, it pulls up half the yard or the entire yard. And you look at the tree system and you think, well, that's not a very big root. It's long, it's wide, but it's not deep. We get winds here and we get cottonwood trees and branches fall off. Branches break off and hit the ground. And unless the tree is dead, you really don't see the root system unless it got toppled, how it got toppled over. The cottonwoods here go deep, very deep for water. They're searching for water so they can grow. Back east, the trees try to go deep, but the water's not good. You have ocean water, salt water coming in. So the trees just don't go deep. They go wide. So they get fresher water that's filtered through the dirt. They won't drive deep into the ground 20, 30 feet because it's too salty. And the trees don't like that. That's the same way it is with Christianity. As you continue to grow, as you go from child of God to young man, to fathers, to mothers, you go deep in the Word. You hear the Word all the time. You've read through the Bible multiple times. You've read different versions of the Bible. But going deep and really looking into Scripture, looking into the Word. He's not here today. Larry, our house church painter, we were painting the school across the street. And to see a master at work, master craftsman, you just watch. I mean, even flip through the channels on the TV, you see all these building shows and these master carpenters or these master chefs. And they start making all these things. And you're just amazed on how they move and how they know. And you know Larry was very good because you had him painting by himself. And he had four guys watching him. He had his hose into the bucket, had the motor going, and he was just spraying. It was beautiful. He was getting so close to the ground that the paint was not hitting the rocks or the dirt. It wasn't blasting it up in the air. But he was just making that perfect line. Nice and sweeping. No splatter, no overrun. No, it was beautiful. And you didn't want to interrupt him. And you couldn't because you'd mess him up. Because here was the master painter at work. And he had four guys standing around watching him work. And you were just, wow. Just, wow. It was great. That's fathers. How did he get to that point? I'm sure Larry messed up many times. I'm sure he had, when he started out painting, he had people showing him and he was still messing up. Same with being in the Word of God. You're going to mess up. You're going to misinterpret. When you're going to first start reading. When you're going to first try to figure something out. As an elder. I don't know what else I would call myself. An elder. I am correctable. As when Dave is up here and he preaches something that maybe it doesn't sit right with you, or you want more answers to that, more information, ask him. Ask me. If I make a mistake, I should be correctable. If I'm not correctable, then there's something wrong. Not with you, with me. If I cannot explain it to you, if I cannot tell you, if I cannot show you, then I need to search it even more. Or change my thinking. We need to be able to be answerable to the church to the body of God, the body of Christ, so that we continue to help you grow. I'd rather this be a church of elders, that we continue to reach the people around us, that we know everything, but still being teachable, that we can teach from the youngest to the oldest. God loves us, and He wants to strengthen us. He wants us to grow. Hebrews 5:11. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Got master mechanics. Got stuff on YouTube that you watch. That these people, excuse me, are amazing at what they do. And it took a long time for them to get there. Same with Christians. With your teachers. Leading prayer. Teaching Sunday school. It takes a while. But we're always learning. Philippians 3:12. Not that I have already obtained all of this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to hold on to what Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. The stuff that we've learned, the stuff that we teach the youth, we teach them just the basic truth so they start getting the story. I brought my girls up on VeggieTales. I love it. They still love it to this day. And it takes biblical stories in a cartoon form. And one of the kids says, can we watch that fruits and vegetable program again? That they understand. And that's a jumping point. And we continue to teach that and preach. But as they get older, we take these childish things and put them to the side and continue to teach them and expound upon the truth that they've learned. God loves them very, very much. Sent His Son to die on the cross to pay for our sins. That's what we teach. That is the basic elemental truth, but we continue to be in the Word, that it strengthens us every single day. I admit, my spiritual growth can improve. I'm selfish in my prayer. I could pray more. I could pray more for each one of you. When I go down and I don't have my prayer list in hand, I go row by row. I see you in my mind's eye on who's sitting there and sitting where. And I start and I just sweep through and I pray and I pray and I pray. Do I know everything about you? No. Do I know your aches and pains? No. But God does. But I remember you in my prayers. Can I pray more? Oh, definitely. There's too many stupid things on TV that I would watch. Guys building houses. It's a rerun, but I'm still watching it again. I could turn that off. I could pray. And I believe that my maturity, my spiritual growth, would benefit greatly from me not being selfish, from me praying for each one of you. Harder? Yeah, how about that? More in depth? Sure. Because the first thing is taken care of. Your salvation. I love that about this church. That you're saved. Second thing is for your spiritual growth. Third thing is when you're sick. Not that God heals you because you're saved. But he feels that you feel his presence. He's never left you. I know he hasn't. But sometimes, as Christians, when we feel weak, that's what I pray for you. That peace feeling that you have. That you know that the Holy Spirit is in you. That God loves you. And that you feel that peace that only comes from him. That's what I want. So when I say pray harder, that's what I'm praying for. Ephesians 4. So Christ himself gave the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body may be built up until we all reach the unity in faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. God set the world on fire with 11 apostles. 12 when you count Paul. But in the beginning, it was 11. They preached the word in Jerusalem. They were persecuted. They were pushed out. Philip, the evangelist, went out and started preaching. Then it went to the Gentiles. Then it went all over the known Roman Empire. And to this day, it's being preached all over the world. That we will no longer be infants as we continue to mature, that we continue to pray for each other, that we continue to give God the glory. That is our calling. Everything that we do is for God's glory. Christ on the cross, for God's glory. The forgiveness and the love that he has for us, for God's glory. That he hears our prayers. Even when we stumble and fall, that we beg for forgiveness, he hears our prayers. He loves us. Even if it happened 2,000 years ago, such an amazing love. That's what we sing. And that's what we need to live. You are saved. This is encouragement. This is God's love. This is joy. This is the peace that God gives. Go deep into the word. Go deep like a tree that's standing firm no matter what storm blows. One last illustration that Pat's not here. Patrick, not Pat, but Patrick. He would know this. When the storm happens out in the open sea, the boats on the surface are getting knocked around. But the submarines go deeper. They go deeper into the water. The deeper they go, the calmer it is. So when you're feeling being knocked around as a Christian, when you don't think God hears your prayers, go deeper. Go deeper into the Word. Place it in your heart. Continue to grow. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the mercy that you show us. Thank you for the love that you have for us. Thank you for the joy that you place upon our hearts. Let us do the things you ask of us, not to get more love from you, because you cannot love us more than what you do now. You love us perfectly. But that we can continue to give glory to you, to honor you, to do things you ask of us, so that more people can have this joy that we have. That we go deeper into your Word. That we stand teachable. We stand correctable. But that we stand for you. That we honor you by fighting the good fight. By taking the solid food of maturity and continue to grow more and more as we see the day approaching. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.